section86.com. We're changing the world of podcasting one show at a time.
Billy Corgan news, King of the Ring is back, and sad news from the Gagne family. All this and much, much more on this week's Off the Mark.
This is TNA Impact referee Brian Hebner, and you're listening to Off the Mark.
86 Productions.
Episode of Off the Mark. We are the podcast that provides the most in-depth insight and analysis into the world of professional wrestling. I am Andrew. He is Air. Let's get right into the news. So Booker T makes an Owen Hart comment. Did you think this was a bigger deal than what he meant to say?
Not at all. I was so surprised by this that people were blasting him on Twitter. He said that Adrian Neville, because they were talking about past King of the Ring winners, Adrian Neville was there and they call him the man that gravity forgot. And he said that, oh, he doesn't defy, Owen Hart didn't defy gravity like Billy, like Adrian Neville. And it was just a, like, you know, like, I get it. Like, people could take that out of context. And I know, like, we made a couple of Owen Hart, you know, jokes last week. But that this was just blown out of proportion. There's no need for Booker T to have to apologize on Twitter, in my opinion, because I believe that people are just being overly sensitive about this. It's not like Owen Hart died yesterday or even a month ago or so. I mean, this is, you know, what, almost 20 years now. I mean, this was a long, long time ago. And he didn't even say it like in a bad way. He didn't say, oh, you know, he fell to his death. You know, he did not say that at all. It was using someone else's name and his likeness. That's it.
Yeah, and I understand what he was trying to say. I mean, basically, he stated that, you know, Owen Hart was a high flyer. I mean, I think that's how I remember Owen Hart a lot of times, is that he was a flyer, and then he did some groundwork, like, unlike Bret Hart, who was not a flyer. So I got it, but I can see where you can state that, oh, he was saying something, making a dig at Owen Hart. I don't believe it, and I think that some people, sometimes you can be oversensitive about something. And yes, I understand he died in the ring and all this stuff, but this is one of those times that I believe that they got it wrong. Now, the interesting part is that if you listen to any replay like they have on Hulu, that comment was removed. Mm-hmm. So, and I'm wondering if it's going to be on the network, if they're actually going to remove it there as well. I mean, we won't find out for, you know, almost 30 days. But I think sometimes things are blown out of proportion. Like, I don't understand the whole thing with Billy Corgan joining the TNA creative team, how that was such a big deal. I mean, I think that was more blown out of proportion because it hit everywhere. I'm surprised TMZ didn't have it on their front page, but he joined TNA creative. Okay, so he joined. He has his own wrestling school. All right. But I'm wondering if this is going to hurt him actually going, being able to go backstage at Chicago events now. Because, you know, WWE is so, they're the only wrestling out there. There's no Ring of Honor. There's no TNA. There's no Chikara. There's no PWG. There's none of those places out there. It's just WWE. What are your thoughts on this?
Billy Corgan is a lifelong wrestling fan. And he, if I remember correctly, was trying to buy TNA. You know, he was trying to help Jeff Jarrett with GFW. You know, he's been just trying to get involved in any way, shape or form. And, you know, that's cool, you know, to have somebody who's very passionate about it. And, you know, with his type of stroke, he can get into it. I think that's neat. But I don't know if he is as big of a not necessarily wrestling fan. I don't know if he is a business savvy when it comes to wrestling. You know, I've said before that if I was building a wrestling company, the first person I would do in a draft is John Cena, because John Cena is going to put the butts in the seats way more than anyone else. Way more. You know, as much as I like AJ Styles, who I think is the greatest wrestler of all time, he's not going to put butts in the seats like John Cena will. Is Billy Corgan the type of man, though, who would choose a John Cena, or is he a fanboy who would choose an AJ Styles? That's the big question. And I don't know if, you know, I mean, that's something that we'll find out over the coming months and years, but I am really hoping that this is not a WCW Vince Russo thing.
Well, that's the thing. I was more shocked that this was big news, because I think the bigger news was the fact that Eric Bischoff joined GFW. That's what I thought was the bigger news, because you have Corgan, right? So he joins TNA. But the fact that Bischoff joined you know, Jeff Jarrett's, you know, thing. I mean, if you remember, Bischoff had a huge thing for Jarrett. Like, he thought he was the next big thing. So Bischoff joins GFW. Well, they don't even have a TV deal. I mean, there's another organization out there that has a TV deal. They don't. So mm-hmm. I believe that really the bigger news, if you want to talk about people joining, is Bischoff joining GFW. What are your thoughts?
I imagine that Bischoff joined because it's something brand new, it's fresh, and he really liked the territorial stuff. He started off in AWA, actually, which was a territory, you know, it was in the Minnesota area, and he really enjoyed that type of thing. And I think with GFW, it's going to be kind of territorial based. I don't know exactly what they're going to do, and I'm waiting with bated breath to find out exactly what's going to happen. I think GFW can be successful on a certain level. I would almost want to see them merge with somebody else though after a little while, you know, like have GFW and Ring of Honor merge, GFW and TNA merge, you know, and then they, GFW, which made some superstar somewhere, shape or form, you know, joining them, it would make a bigger deal. I don't know if that's going to happen though. I imagine though that Bischoff is going to help bring some sort of credibility to this, and that's going to be a very good thing.
Now, here's my thing. This is what I thought Jeff Jarrett was going to do. I've been to a couple of indie shows. The last one I was at was actually in LaSalle, Illinois, and it was for Dreamwave Wrestling, which, by the way, CJ Parker's there. I thought that they were, or CJP now, I thought that that's what he was going to do. He was going to hit that place, and then he was going to hit, you know, like a, not PWG, but like another territory where you have certain guys there where there's like the two or three stars that stand out, and the rest are nobodies. But you showcase those two or three guys, and then you go somewhere else. And then you go, you know, you hit all these places, because I think that actually would help wrestling, because you're like, hey, by the way, there's other things out there besides the WWE. And if you push stuff where it's, if you're forced to be online as only, you could push that and say, hey, come here, it's online only. Come here, it's online only. That's what I thought they were going to do with GFW, but instead they did this. The one thing that I am shocked, by the way, WWE actually had taped SmackDown and Moline for the first time, and I don't know how long they were just there. But what really upset me is that I didn't get any tickets, and I should have, because they brought the King of the Ring back, and that was not announced until recently. So the King of the Ring tournament was going on. They had eight competitors. And now of the eight competitors, was there one guy that stood out? You're like, he's definitely going to win.
Oh, Barrett, of course. When I took a look at that, I thought, they're not going to have Ziggler. They're not going to have Ambrose, even though they are the type of people that would. I took a look and I said, Barrett is probably going to be the guy that wins it, because Sheamus won the last one. So they're probably not going to have him do back to back. He doesn't need it anyway. So I thought that Barrett was going to be the guy. And, you know, it turned out to be the case.
I thought that Neville was going to win it, because when you look on paper, it's like, oh, he'd have to climb uphill. But I thought that, okay, they make this deal with him wearing a cape. What better thing to do than have him wear that? Basically the crown. But I'm wondering now if with Barrett winning, if they're going to do something where they strip Daniel Bryan of the title and that he basically states that I'm the, you know, the title holder. I mean, you can mm-hmm. do something like that. But this sets up a feud with Neville, which I think this helps Neville out more than Barrett. Because even though Bad News Barrett beat Neville in a really quick match, it was only like 7 minutes.
That's not bad, though. You know, and they just had a match on the pay-per-view anyway, which was advertised like just a little bit beforehand. I'm actually OK with this, because I think they've been, first of all, I think they've been booking Neville pretty well. They've had him lose big matches, as he should. He shouldn't just go undefeated. And they've had him win some smaller matches, and even some that you wouldn't expect. You know, I didn't expect him to beat Sheamus. That was a surprise, even with Ziggler interfering. You know, I mean, it's Sheamus, and they've booked him really like Cena, and Cena typically never loses. So I was very surprised by that booking, but, you know, more power to him. Barrett winning. The only thing I really wonder is, are they going to do a King gimmick with him like they've done in the past? Because his Bad News gimmick works so well. And so was he going to be the King of Bad News?
No, I just got it, because I got stuck watching ABC the other morning. Remember the Queen, or the next in line for the Queen. She is due any day now, so she could have popped the baby out by now.
Wait, what?
Yeah, the queen. It's Prince Harry's woman. They're gonna have a second child. There's like that watch, and like ABC was on it. Like, oh, this is, you know, it could happen any day. They didn't say when she was due, but they're covering it right now, which I find interesting. I'm wondering if somehow you can tie that in with the fact that Barrett is the king of the ring.
No, that, you don't that think they is,
could. I mean, it's an idea, but like if Vince heard that and he's like, you know what, that sounds like a great idea, let's run with it. I'm wondering if he's gonna try that.
I could see them potentially doing that, but I think that'd be a bad idea. There's really no need for that. You know, it's like, I don't know. I getting back to the storyline aspect of it, him being the king, you know, of bad news or whatever they're going to do with him. He still has the claim to the IC title. I really think that they need to play on that a little bit more and say, why haven't I got my match? I need my match, and really, really do something about that. Because I'm happy to see the King of the Ring tournament back. I think it's stupid to, you know, have a 2-day buildup. I think that was really dumb on their part. Because on Sunday night, both Roger and I looked at each other and went, King of the Ring? Like, what is that about? They're just showing a replay or something? And then they said, no, we're having a King of the Ring tournament. And it's like, why are you doing it in that way? Like, that just seemed kind of weird. You know, what's the prize at the end? You know, it just seemed that this was thrown together. And that's the one thing I don't like about it. And actually, fun fact, the last King of the Ring tournament was the year that we started this podcast, which was 5 years ago.
That's how long it's been since the last King of the Ring?
Mm-hmm.
Wow, I didn't even realize that. I believe that this is something that should be every year, but I think that there should be more of a buildup. I did like the fact that they tied in with the network where if you wanted to see who won the next round, you had to watch it on the WWE Network, which I thought was kind of interesting because that means they tape that, then they tape Main Event, and then they tape SmackDown. So that means I'm pretty sure that no one left Moline or the iWireless Center, as they call it, or the Mark, as we call it. I don't think anyone left that until probably 10 o'clock. So that's a long night of wrestling, and if you have some fans that are unruly, but anyways, Bad News Barrett winning it, that's great. One thing that I was more shocked about is that the New Day are your new tag champs, which I thought was weird that they won, because according to a person who leaks information, he got this one wrong. I don't know why you put them on, give them the tag titles now. I mean, I guess if you're going to give it to them, put it in a place where they're the delusional, you know, people that think that they are the best. And even though they keep chanting New Day sucks and then they want to say New Day rocks. I find it weird that they got it. But
I don't find it that weird. You know, they wanted to put a spotlight on them. What better way to put a spotlight on them than have them win the tag titles? And I also think it's a transitional championship. They're transitional champions because, you know, primetime players have been getting a lot of traction as of late. And so I imagine that they're probably gonna be the ones to take it off, or they're going to have Kid and Cesaro chase them again. And that's another option. You know, they did lose on SmackDown, or they won on SmackDown by DQ, you know, so they don't get the titles. You know, this could be a chance here for them to do a rematch at the pay-per-view, or you throw in the primetime players, do something like that. So not sure exactly what they'll do here. I'm okay with them giving the titles. I picked, Kid and Cesaro because I think that was a better move, but this isn't a terrible move.
But they also made it so Kid and Cesaro all overnight, basically in 2 seconds, turn face. So everyone was rooting for him, and I believe now they've turned. So they are a face now when they were supposed to be a heel team. But I think it actually helps them out. I think they're gonna have longer legs as a face for now, at least. But
And I think that was a smarter move too, because the biggest problem is that people liked them and they weren't doing heelish stuff. So they kind of organically became faces, and I actually prefer that a lot more than, you know, their typical, oh, we're going to be the good guys now. It just happened. And I like that, you know, and same thing with New Day. You know, they came out, they were really pushing them to be, you know, faces, and nobody liked them. And it just, I don't know. It felt very organic, them being booed, you know, and the way that they were booed.
And I thought it was funny also that when they won the belts, Xavier Woods took it from Kofi, if I'm correct. So, which I thought was funny because he's like, no, I'm the champion. And then Kofi's like, yeah, whatever. You know, you can have the belt. I've had it before. I thought that was funny. What the funnier part was when they were backstage doing the interview, and then you see Ambrose and Luke Harper come back in the SUV, and then they start going at it right there, which I thought was awesome because anything that they had going, basically Harper and Ambrose just shut it down right there, which I thought mm-hmm. was awesome. And they had a great street match, by the way. I was shocked about how good it was. I was also ticked that they left. But then I was like, well, they're going to come back, but I'm wondering when. And this is probably the best time they could have came back to finish that. And by the way, just a side note, Luke Harper, wow, he has been tearing it up. His matches honestly are exactly how they were when he was Brody Lee. I mean, they're now to that level. And I feel bad because Eric Rowan, basically his matches are there, but he's not showcased like how Luke Harper has been. So kudos Mark with Luke Harper. Also with Dean Ambrose with the King of the Ring, I was also shocked that Ziggler interfered. Does that mean that they're going to start feuding? Because they could, because Ambrose could say to Ziggler that you cost me the chance of being King of the Ring. So I like how they did that.
I thought that'd be a good idea. I actually would think that would be a good idea to, you know, kind of have a little bit of a mini feud, you know, where it's two faces, but they have a beef with each other. And that's OK to do. You know, you don't have to have all faces love each other. So, Andy, one of the biggest things, though, that happened, of course, was that Seth Rollins retained the title, and everything happened exactly as we had talked about last week. The J&J security got involved. Kane was a really big difference maker there, and he, you know, chokeslammed both Orton and Rollins, and he was really mad at him. What did you think, though? Because this was a small point of contention, not a big one. The RKO was banned. Randy Orton used it on, J&J security or on Kane, I mean. And then Rollins used the RKO. So technically, wouldn't Rollins have been DQ'd? He still is champion, but wouldn't he have been DQ'd?
Well, it's called the SKO, so I don't know. That's a little bit different. It's like the diamond cutter, if he decided to use the diamond cutter instead, one of those things. I was surprised, but this match to me felt like it should have been bigger than what it was.
And, absolutely.
And I don't know if it's because it felt like a long Raw. Because when the show was going on, I got bored, and I started watching right at 6, so like 6 Central Standard Time. So I watched the whole thing, and by the time that match was over with, I was like, finally. That was my thoughts. The match itself, I thought probably the better match was the match before that, two matches before that. So that's why I was like, wow. That was a way better match than this. So that's what kind of, I don't know, like Big Show versus Reigns was so much better. And then I think that Seth Rollins and Randy Orton just missed it here.
You know, it's actually really funny that you say that, because I really agree with you on that. It was very surprising. The show didn't feel like a long Raw, but this match felt like a Raw main event. You know, I think is the best way to put it, because I felt that this match just it didn't have it. And partway through, I was sitting there thinking, you know, you two are really great competitors, but right now you guys aren't giving us anything that we haven't seen before. There's nothing special about this. And your match at WrestleMania was way better. So why is this one so terrible? You know, like what about, you know, it's supposed to be bigger because the world title's on the line. So it really felt like a filler, and it was a setup to Payback. You know, at Payback, we are going to get Rollins, Orton, and Reigns in a triple threat. And I think that'll be pretty good. I think Show still has a little bit of unfinished business, and we'll probably see him next week. Just to even talk about that, to go off on a small tangent, the Big Show Reigns match was actually probably the second best match of the night. It was really, in my opinion, I think it was.
Second best? I thought it was actually the best match of the night.
Hands down. Really?
Oh, that's and that's coming from a Roman Reigns hater. Mm-hmm. I thought him and Big Show worked so well together, and that they teased it so many times that, hey, Big Show's going through a table, and it ended up being Reigns going through a table. And I was like, wow, this was actually not that bad. I don't even, the only thing I had an issue with was that he got up on 8, and I think that he should have tried to get up on 7 opposed to 8 when he went through the
table.
It's
funny, we were talking about this. Okay. We were saying he should have slowly started getting up before then, because it was, you know, he all of a sudden it's like, oh, 8, okay, I'm up now. You know, like I waited until 8, you know, now I'm up. That's just funny. No, I actually think the tag match was probably the best match of the night. And I would say this was probably second. You know, it's funny because this was a 20-minute long match, but it was very well done. And Big Show did some really great things in there. Roman did some really great things. The finish, I think, was actually pretty good, even though it's been done before. That's fine. But I was actually pretty impressed with Roman Reigns, and he has continued to impress me over the past month. And I think that's a really good thing. That says, guess what? This guy can learn. His promos still need a lot of work, but his wrestling ability is definitely getting more up there, where I think that he's probably doing better than Cena does, you know, or than Cena even did back then. And when we see Roman actually start getting into the main spotlight, that's when we're going to see a transition there. And I don't know. I think that we might see Roman versus Lesnar at SummerSlam.
You think so?
Not for the title, but I think we might see those two at SummerSlam, because I think Roman needs to get a win back. And if you have Roman win against Lesnar, I think that's a pretty big deal. So
that's actually, I see your point to that, but I don't think they're going to do that.
Yeah, they could. It's armchair booking, but yeah. So anyway, though, Roman, though, is going to be taking on Rollins and Orton at a Payback, which I think will be probably a pretty good match.
I want Roman Reigns to surprise me. I mean, even though there's only 3 weeks in between the pay-per-views, they could build it up where it's a decent show. And it's also going to be interesting to see how many people actually stay with the WWE Network, too, since they had, April was free all month. Mm-hmm. And they had some good shows. By the way, I can't wait. I forgot to watch the McFoley thing. I cannot wait to watch that, though, after we're done with the show. So that'll have to be something that we talk about next week, is the McFoley show, because I want to hear your thoughts, since you've seen him live twice. See if he does same stories, or if it's like a best of thing for him. So
yeah.
Anyway, so let's thank our sponsor, HostGator. Are you a blogger or a podcaster, or you're just not happy with your web host? You need to check out HostGator.com. You're going to find web hosting made easy and affordable. HostGator offers unlimited disk space, unlimited bandwidth, one-click strip installs with a free site builder, hands down the best control panel out there. Stop by today and try a free demo to see how easy it is. And if you use a special coupon code, OffTheMark, you're going to save 25% off your web hosting packages. So what are you going to lose? Check out HostGator.com and take a bite out of your web hosting costs. Also, make sure you check out Section 86's Off the Mark page and click on the banner at the top to say big on IronSwordWWEShop.com. So, unfortunately, we have some sad news. Vern Gagne passed away on Monday night. Mm-hmm. Sad day in the world of professional wrestling. He wrestled over 4 decades, which I thought was, it's hard to do that. Not many people have been able to wrestle that long, but he wrestled for a long time. And then, of course, he started AWA. So, sad day.
Yeah, and one of the biggest things with that is we had the NWA, the National Wrestling Alliance, which went and took a look at all the territories, and so a lot of people were part of that. Obviously, we had WWF, we had AWA, and a lot of other ones as well, WCCW. And what happened then was WWF broke away from that, AWA broke away from it, and then made their own world champions. And in particular, Vern Gagne, who was he was up there. You know, he was a Ric Flair, a Lou Thesz, a Buddy Rogers, type of person. And so he had a lot of pull in the Minnesota region. And actually, on the WWE Network, there's a really great AWA documentary. It's kind of like the rise and fall of WCW. Same thing with AWA. And it's really well done. And the thing about Vern Gagne is, he is a 16-time world champion for, I think there's 10 with AWA and then 6 other ones. And, he did a lot for the world of professional wrestling. And in particular, the AWA had a who's who of wrestlers go through there. Of course, there's a lot that, are kind of more indie names. I should say more hipster type names, like a Bruiser Brody, Nick Bockwinkel, those types of people. But you had Ric Flair, who went through there. You had Scott Hall, Kurt Hennig, Mr. Perfect, of course, Nick Koloff. And of course, the biggest one, which is Hulk Hogan. And in fact, Hulk Hogan, he was wrestling with AWA, went to New Japan, did really well there. And he had a very, very big disagreement. He wanted to be the world champion. And Vern didn't want to do that. You know, he wanted to have him chase the title longer and longer and longer. And, you know, Hogan just got really peeved about that. So he went, he met with Vince. Vince wanted to put the rocket ship on him. And so he went to the WWF, and obviously the rest is history. WWF ended up winning, AWA didn't. And, you know, part of that is because, you know, Vern was maybe a little bit stubborn. But, you know, even though he was stubborn, Hogan still liked him a lot, you know, and he taught him a lot of great things. So, you know, when he passed, obviously he was very sad about that. You know, he'd had no animosity towards him afterwards. But the fact that we lost somebody who was this big of a promoter is a really, really big deal.
Yeah, it's always sad when you hear about some promoters passing away. I mean, Vern did a lot for wrestling. No matter how you look at it, he did a great job. And in the WWE, they had a thing right off the bat. As soon as they hear that he passed away, of course, SmackDown and also the King of the Ring, right before, they had their little tribute for him, which I thought was really interesting. The one thing also, since they own so much stuff, I'm surprised they're not pushing the AWA documentary. I mean, they could do something, especially this weekend, where they have like an AWA show where they have like they run a bunch of them, and then they run their Beyond the Ring, as in quotes, as I like to say, and they run that as well. So, I mean, this is actually something that the WWE Network should hop on, even though it's sad that he passed away. But you can also see like, hey, by the way, this Saturday they're going to run this all day. Maybe you get an extra subscriber because they see that and they want to watch all that stuff. But yeah,
you might, you know, and the other thing too, you know, while, of course, a lot of wrestling fans, you know, if you're listening to this right now, you probably are not familiar with the AWA, you know, for the most part, realistically, I wasn't either, you know, I mean, I never watched it because it was just, you know, it was a regional thing, and where we lived, we didn't get it. But to know the types of people that came out of there, you know, like, it's funny, we talked about Larry Zbyszko, you know, a few weeks back, you know, with the Hall of Fame. And, you know, he was with AWA for the longest time. He was he was a champion there for, I think, a year or so, you know, so it was a really big deal. You know, he got a really big start there. So, you know, it is sad. He lived a very long and fruitful life. I mean, he died. He was almost 90 years old. So, you know, that's not too bad. But Andy, I would be remiss to not talk about this. But did you know that he killed a man?
Really?
In 2009.
How?
He got into an altercation with a 97-year-old resident because he was in a facility. And he apparently he threw a guy. He used basically a wrestling move because he had, I mean, it's, you know, it's kind of funny, but like not funny, you know, like, because, you know, the whole situation, like this is something you read in The Onion, you know, but basically he used a wrestling move and hurled him violently to the floor, and then he broke his hip, apparently. So, and that caused the man to die. So it was ruled a homicide. But the weird thing is, he was not criminally charged because he was so not there, because he didn't have the mental capacity to know that that's what he did. So kind of sad, you know. Really,
wow.
Is.
Wow. So when we started the show, that's when he accidentally hurt a guy, and oh man,
yeah,
that's really weird.
It is.
You brought up Zbyszko, by the way, and I don't know if you noticed this, but over on Extreme Rules, people were chanting for Booker T, and he actually did the Zbyszko thing where he stood up and turned around, and like everyone started clapping afterwards. I know that's I should have said that earlier, but you brought up Zbyszko, I forgot about that, but
yeah. The other thing I want to mention, too, is, you know, Vern was in a number of Hall of Fames. He's actually one of only a few wrestlers to be in not only the WWE Hall of Fame, but the WCW Hall of Fame, Pro Wrestling Hall of Fame, and the Wrestling Observer Hall of Fame.
Yeah, the whole thing with the WCW Hall of Fame, he didn't really do much for WCW that I can think of.
No.
But I think they did it just to for publicity. But it's kind of cool, though, that he's in that Hall of Fame.
Well, it's just like with WWE. I mean, he never set foot in WWE, you know, but he's a member of their Hall of Fame because the contribution to wrestling, you know.
Yeah, and I wish that they would actually just say it's the Wrestling Hall of Fame. I don't like the fact they call it the WWE Hall of Fame because if you say that and he was never there, I mean, that kind of stinks. It's almost like, who was it? Oh, the family was inducted. Oh, gosh, just recently.
The Von Erichs?
Yeah, the Von Erichs. How they inducted all of them, and realistically, there was only like two that possibly could go in the Hall of Fame. That's why I wish they just call it the Wrestling Hall of Fame. But I don't know, like when I heard he passed away, I was more upset because, you know, when you look at wrestling, like you always say the Gagne family, and it just kind of hurt a little bit. So it's, you know, he led a good life. I mean, there's no other way to put it. He led a good life. He was still with it for so long. I think they said he had problems back in 2006, if I'm correct. And that's when he kind of started going downhill. That was after he was in the Hall of Fame, which is the same year he actually got into the WWE Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
But it's a sad day for the Gagne family. And I really hope that the WWE does something with it.
Well, yeah. And you know, obviously his son Greg is still around. And, you know, he was a former champion as well of the AWA. And you know, he loved wrestling. And, you know, I hope that. His father was 89, you know, he's 66. He obviously had a number of great years with his dad. And so it is sad. It was a kind of a long time coming. But, you know, this is one of those, it's not a tragic death, you know, because it's not like he died when he was 20 or 30. But it's still a sad day, though, for the wrestling world.
Yeah. And if you want to check out on the WWE Network, they actually have a little 8-minute segment where they talk to Mean Gene. They go over certain tweets that people did. And, of course, Hogan was on there. They had to throw Triple H on there as well because of, you know, his tweet. So, but yeah, it's very interesting. Scott Sanford actually hosted it. So he got back from his vacation and had to do this, which is kind of sad. But anyway, so that's all the time we have for this week's show. If you're into the Twitter, you follow the show at AuthorMark86. I want to thank 86 Productions for hosting and editing the podcast. And I want to thank all of our listeners for taking the time to download and listen to the show. And for Aaron Hughes, I am Andrew Hughes. And until next time, we'll see you in the ring.